I'm Bob Franklin. Thanks very much for joining me today on Like It Is. I traveled to Jackson, Mississippi for an interview with Bobby Rush, a native son of the South, blues legend, and 2024 Grammy Award winner.
Mr. Rush, it is indeed an honor to be back in your presence, this time face-to-face in the great state of Mississippi, for which you and I share love of.
Yeah. Thank you for having me to do this, and I'm so honored that you asked me to do this, because it's hard for me to express everything in my heart that I want to talk about, but we can start talking about me as a whole, since you're talking about me and blues and where I come from in Mississippi. I was born in Homer, Hainesville, Louisiana. How I got into Louisiana, let me tell you, because my roots is in Mississippi. My great-grandmother was a slave to Van Spivey in Jackson, Mississippi area. She was a slave. She had 6 kids by Van Spivey. He also had 5 kids by his wife, who lived in the same house. When my great-grandfather, who was a white man, who was on his dying bed, want to divide his land up to his children. And that was 6 of his children were by this black woman who was my great-grandmother, was a slave to him. He want to divide his land up so the white side of the family, taking my great-grandmother, 5 of them, to Eudora, Arkansas. It was 6 kids, but they didn't take but 5 because the other kids were too young for them to take. They left her in Mississippi, took them to Eudora, Arkansas, and dropped them at a barn. They raised themselves. That's how my dad met my mother from Louisiana, and I was born in Louisiana. I left my hometown in 1947, went to Pine Bluff, Arkansas with my father and mother. My dad was a preacher, pastor of 2 churches. I wanted to go to Chicago at an early age. I put my age up when I was 15 to 18 so I could work in places like Jitterbug and the Juke Joints and Honky Tonks. Painted my mustache on my face with a crayon or a pencil. Sometime I'll take a match to stretch it, blow it out real quick and get about 8 or 10 matches and use the soot from the match to make me a mustache. Go in the club, at that time you go in at 18 years old, but I was only 15. I wanted to go to Chicago so bad when I met B.B. King, Harlan Wolf, Muddy Water, Elmo James. Many of the blues men was on the southern states. Ack Turner was in Clarksdale, Mississippi, so was Harlan Wolf. Started playing the juke joint where the blues guy was playing. Muddy Water said, listen, you got to go to Chicago. Him and Willie Dixon was out of Pittsburgh, Mississippi. Muddy Water's out of Rolling Fork, Mississippi, which is Delta. They went to Chicago and they came back. And I met them in Clarksdale. I said, man, you got to come to Chicago where you be free. I said, man, I can be free? I didn't have enough money to buy myself a ticket to Chicago, because it cost $7.75. But I did buy my ticket to Pine Bluff to Memphis, Tennessee, which was $3.80. And I got a job on Beale Street where B.B. King and Sonny Boy Williams were working, Rufus Thomas, on the street. I was making $3.50 a week on the street, sometimes $4 a week. Till I got enough money to go where Chuck Berry and Albert King was in East St. Louis. I made enough money working $2 or $3 a week till I got enough money to go to Chicago where Muddy Waters, Howlin' Wolf, John Lee Hooker, Little Walter, Jimmy Reed, all the big guys was in Chicago. As if I get Chicago, I'm gonna be a free man. When I got to Chicago, I run into a brick wall. There's a guy called J.B. Lenore. Got a job for me in a suburb of Chicago, Rock Island, Blue Island, rather. Blue Island, Illinois. Place called Skins. I got a job there where I worked behind the curtain every night where they wanted to hear my music but not see my face because the place was dominant, white and run and operated place. Then I said to myself, I said, this no better than down south to me. We still can't do what we want to do, go where we want to go, eat what we want to eat, sleep where we want to sleep. There was no place to sleep or eat because the white and black issue was all around, no different from the southern state. I thought when I got to Illinois, it was going to be different, but it wasn't. Then I went down to, met a gentleman that took me down on Rush Street in Chicago. I was one of the first black men they hired on Rush Street. Well, the second, maybe the third black man they hired in the Playboy back in the early 50s. A gentleman hired me by the name of Caesar Capone, Al Capone brother. Now I began to realize the power of the underground or undercurrent power. I didn't know Al Capone, but I used his name like I did. Then I started to go, I went out down to Chess Record where I wanted to record. I made the biggest mistake of my life. Leonard and Phil Chess owned records, owned the record company, which was Chess Records. Muddy Waters was there. Bo Diddley was there. Jimmy Reed was there. Little Walter was there. Smoker Hall, John Lee Hooker was there. All the guys around the table sitting around getting ready to record or trying to get a contract to record with Chess Record. I was sitting there. J.B. Lenoir looked at me and said, welcome, Bobby Rush. And I looked on the table. There was a pamper on the table. Said 10 and 208 is joining. I said to the gentleman was sitting there. Little Walter was sitting next to me. Muddy Water was there. I said, the union is merging. It's going to be good for all of us colored guys because it wasn't black and white guys at that time. It was colored. So Bo Diddley laughed. And when he laughed, one of the brothers from Chess Record walked out. And while he was laughing, one of the Chess brothers said, what you laughing about? Bo Diddley said, Bobby Ray said, put it on me, that the union is merging. By that time, the other brother walked out, Phil walked out. Said, what you guys laughing about? He said again, Bobby Ray said, the union is merging. He said, where'd he get that information from? He said, off your desk. He snatched it out of his other brother's hand and throwed it to me. He said, what that say, boy, talking to me? And I read it to him. He turned around and told his brother, so we can't use that nigga because he can read. I'm telling you now that from that time to this time, I've been stunted as a blues man, as a black man. And I made my mind up then and there that I was going to be a blues man, but I was going to educate myself to own and control. So the next few weeks, I went back to record. I had got this job at Bourbon Street with Caesar Capone. Did not know Al Capone. Didn't know anything about him. Too dumb to even talk about what I knew about. Didn't know anything about it. And they see me coming, they said, well, hey, come on, Al Capone boy. And they would run and make room for me to come in. I said, wow, I can use this. So when I go in to record now, what they just turned me down a few months ago from recording, now they ask me, are you going to pay today, boy? I said, let me talk to my boss. Okay. Because they thought I knew Al Capone, but I didn't. I just used that name because I heard about the power of Al Capone, had not even known that this brother, Cesar Capone. So how I got this job with Cesar Capone, I went down to remain an audition. I had a black, all-black band, being a black man. But I got the three white guys to go down and do an audition with me. Cesar, at the place, Cesar was the boss, but he had a guy working for him called Cunch. He was a Chinese guy. So Cunch said, "You got your band?" I said, "Yeah." Showed him the band. He said, "Oh, man, this is going to be good. We're going to integrate this place." Well, I didn't know, I haven't heard the word integrate. I didn't know what that was. I thought integrate was some guy who was in control. I thought, because I thought I was this young, good-looking little guy, that I was an integrator. They gonna put me in a room with a bunch of ladies and make and mate me to make some good slaves. And I said to myself, I can be a good integrator. You know, that's what I thought. So he said, "Okay, y'all can start tomorrow. We're gonna integrate this place. Band sound good," because he looked at me as a black guy. I got a white band. But the next day, on Wednesday, it was on the Tuesday. Wednesday night when I went to work, I had the three black guys with me. So when I walked in, he said, "Come on in, man." He said, "Where's the band?" I said, "Right here." He said, "Oh no, you can't bring these guys in here, man. We don't have no dressing room for these guys." Dressing room for these guys. He said, "Well, what the band you had with the other day?" I said, "This is my band here. I just did our day." He said, "Man, you can't wait. We can't have that in here." The place we were working had a high stage like this. We played down in a pit where they had go-go dancers, four of them. One danced 15 minutes apiece. And we could look right up under the girls' dresses. Good place for the band. At least for me, you know. I looked right up on the dresses all night. I was inspired all night. And the guy told me, said, "Well, you can play the first show. We'll play a band, hour on, an hour off. 1 hour on, 1 hour off. Other one, this band play an hour, the other band play an hour." So now they don't have a dressing room for this band because they're all black. So I had a cloak room. We goes in this cloak room. They made a dressing room in some kind of pantries or whatever it was, and put a lock on it. And we went to the bathroom, and we had to go do the number one, it's three knocks. If it's number four, you go four knocks. Whatever you had to do, that you had by the knock. And they bring you a sandwich once a night, and you hamburger, what have you. And that's the way it was then. And when I'm telling you this in a short version. When I look back on it, how it was, black and white issue, I think about all the changes been made. So many things changed, but so many things remain the same. I wrote a song lately that says, "I come a long way, but I got a long way to go. The things I used to do down in Louisiana, I don't do anymore. I used to carry water 15 miles for 50 cents a day. It's a shame a boy 9 years old had to work so hard every day. I used to pick cotton in the cotton field where I used to live. It's all right to pick cotton if you own a piece of the field. I'm free. Can't you see? I got the shackles off my feet and the chains off my mind. I don't need no politician telling me what to do. I'm free to vote, and I can vote the way I want to. I'm free. Someday we all gonna find how to get the chains off your feet and the chains off your mind. I'm free. Look at me. I'm free, can't you see? I got the shackles off my feet and the chains off my mind." That give me some uplift in my life. I'm talking now, I want to let you now, you know, we can talk about other things, but I want to let you know where I come from, where I am, where my head is trying to get to. I'm free. Can't you see? I have the shackles off my feet and it changed off my mind.
What inspired you to write that song? It's beautiful, it's powerful, it's uplifting.
Life, where I've been, where I wanted to go and couldn't go, where I struggled to be or wished to be and couldn't be there. But then when I look around at where I am and who I am, I think about what a blessing it is. Because when you think about what it could have been, I'm so happy for what it is. It inspired me to keep going because God done let me live long enough to find out that I don't know anything. Because when a man tell what he know, Robert, he won't talk long. Because man don't know nothing. Everything's in a hope and wishing that he could get there, he could do this, he could do that in life. When I look around myself now, at my age and time, someone asked me last year, said, Bobby Rush, the next year we're going to have a big, big birthday party for you. We're going to invite all your friends. I said yes before I could think about it. Then when I thought about it, there's nobody I could invite. Because all of my friends at my age bracket, not here no more. So I don't know whether he realized what he was saying. I wanted to see what I was going to say about what he said. But I'm inspired about the gift that God given me. I'm inspired about how God have protected me. I'm excited. I'm still learning. I still have hope. Because a man can live a long time without water or food. But you can't live alone without hope. I have hope. This interview this morning gave me a lot of drive, a lot of hope. I was up like a kid Christmas time with a toy this morning with you coming here to talk to me. Nothing new about what I'm saying to you. But what's new about it is that I'm repeating to you a conversation we had before. And what I'm saying ain't new. It's just a new day and a new time about the same old soup that warmed up again. It's hard, but it's fair. I use the word fair because can't nothing or no one take me back. Only thing that can hinder me is myself because I know I perish from lack of knowledge. But my plan is now to do all I can while I can. When there come a time that I can't do, that I won't regret what I did not do. God had given me the mind to remember well. I have 429 records. I've been up for a Grammy 7 times. I won 3. I've been up for a Blues Award 41 times. And I won 19 of those. The accolades I have through this life, I can't count them all. I have 29 keys to the city, to different 29 towns. All that's good. But what matter most that I'm able to vote. I know black lives matters, but vote matter most. I know that I won't be here forever, but the time I spend here, I'm so thankful God gave me the mind to remember. 70 some odd years ago, I wrote a song said, in the little shack down by the bay, not far from New Orleans. I met this pretty woman down there when I was about 19. She went and told her daddy she wanted to marry me, and the look on her daddy's face really was a sight to see. He said, get out of here with you, and don't you come back no more. I want to meet a daddy like a young man older. He didn't want no blues singer like Bobby Rush to get married to his daughter. When I went by the house that day, he met me at the door. Dad, Mom, Big Brother John, and a dog named Bo, saying, get out of here and don't you come back no more. Her brothers and sisters sick the dogs on me and made them tear off all my clothes. I was running fast trying to get away down a dusty road. I was running fast trying to get away. I crossed the railroad track. I could hear the kids throwing rocks at me every time I stopped to look back, saying, get out of here. Don't you come back no more. Well, I sneaked down to get married. Judge has due to solemnly swear to take this woman for your lawful wife, not a one-night love affair. Before I could open my mouth to say I do, guess who walked through the door? Dad, Mom, Big Brother John, and a dog named Bo. What I thought to myself right then, if I wanted to get married anyway, I had to find a way to elope. I decided to go to Las Vegas to get away from her nosy folk. Soon as I got to Las Vegas, the same day I walked in, there was all her kin and that doggone dog again. Saying, get out of here and don't you come back no more. Here I am. Here I am. I laugh and talk about the things that I talk about. I don't laugh because it's funny. I laugh to keep me in the road, my mind. I'm so thankful for this interview. I'm so thankful for how God has blessed me to be able to write Reason and Remember. I'm so blessed to be able to think good about others and do good about others as I wish to be done good by. I'm so thankful to be in a position I am now to own and control most of the things I do. I said most of the things I do. Because in this life, what is free to you may not be free to me. Free to me is being able to speak when I want to, say what I want to, and hopefully that you understand what I say and the way I say it, because I am that I am.
I like that point you raised about Black Lives Matter, but yeah, voting matters just most as much. Talk a bit about, there's a time in our history when Black men, Black women, Black people didn't have the right to vote. Now that possibility, that ability, that right is with all of us. Talk about the importance of utilizing that vote.
It's important than anything in the world, because at a time like this, we need to know that we have the rights to exercise our vote. And it makes me sad to see people, young and old, or young or old, saying it doesn't matter because they're going to do what they want to do anyway. That's a plan to keep you back and take you back. Keep you what they call where you should be in your place. Your place is your mind, state of mind. I want to be free. I'm free. Can't you see? Take the shackles off your feet and the chains off your mind. Go out and vote, because every vote counts. All of matter, whether you're Black or white, especially if you're Black. I know Black lives matter. I'm not saying it don't, but I'm telling you, your votes matter most. You got to go out and vote. Nothing comes to a sleeper but a dream. Whole life is a fight. You must fight for what you want or believe in. And you must try to believe in what's right, what's good for you. Not only just for you, it's for other people, because what we do as adults, as older people, as we get old, we pass the torch on to the younger people. And I'm hoping the younger people come out and support and vote and take care of the older people who put them in the position they are in today. And that's the way it go, man. Vote is important. Get out and vote. You'll be hearing more about this, about me, from that standpoint as I go through the years. I won't give them too much away, but I'm gonna be talking about that, because for the next 6 or 8 months, I'll be going around and embracing to go out and vote and encouraging people to go out and vote and try to get young people to really get on the line, because the young people, I'm not saying the young people You don't know anything. What I'm trying to tell you, we believe in you, and you the one got to carry it on when we're gone. Young people, go out and vote. Register to vote. Find out why you're voting, who you're voting for, and what you need to do to get your vote through the door. And after you get through the door, we got to know what we want. One thing for sure, you can vote in and you can vote out. That's the privilege. You can go, you're able to vote. If they don't do what they say they're going to do, vote them out. You'll vote them in, you can vote them out. Go vote. Go vote. Go vote.
That's the power of the democracy in which we live. We can hire, and we as the people, we can fire.
That's right.
But we do it through the vote. And if we don't exercise that right, then individuals who may not represent our desires and our community needs, they'll continue not to respect that need. But if we vote, everyone, young, old, and in between, we can change That's whatever right. situation we want to change.
Go vote, it's your right. Don't let them, the people who telling you can't vote or don't vote, it doesn't matter. Don't let them take us back. Only reason they can take us back, we don't go out and vote.
Let's talk about our beloved state of Mississippi.
Yes.
And, you know, from the outside, Mississippi has a less than stellar history in terms of treating its citizens equally. It has a notorious history, and when we look back at racial relations and all, but Mississippi has changed. Mississippi is changing. The recognition the Mississippi legislature bestowed upon you for your extraordinary work in receiving the Grammy Award, doing something that is just unbelievable in terms of artistic excellence, putting Mississippi in a very prominent, powerful position nationally, internationally. Talk a bit about your state, my state, the misperceptions of people who maybe have never visited Mississippi, how Mississippi is not what it used to be, but it's moving and it's trying to be better than it was yesterday.
Mississippi never been as bad as people perceive it to be, because the seed was planted that Mississippi was the worst place you could ever be from or go to. But that was a time and place in where people wanted to, for whatever reason, didn't want you to think bad about Mississippi. There were other places, the South Carolinas and the Michigan and whatever, were just as worse, but it seemed like they wanted to paint a picture on Mississippi. I'm not saying that it shouldn't be talked about like that. All I'm saying, they're not the only state in the world that do the thing that they do. But even they did what they did, it seemed to be getting better and doing what they do. That's what I'm grateful about. Because it's a poor dog don't wag his own tail. It's a poor man who don't learn and change. So Mississippian is doing better.
I'm Bob Franklin on location in Jackson, Mississippi. I'll be back in 7 days with part two of my interview with Bobby Rush.
Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Network.